You've dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Yes, you have landed in Juicebox Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We've missed you 2 weeks. We've been off.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So, you know, don't touch that dial.
You are exactly where we want you to be and where I think you want to be. You've landed in Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. Or maybe you're one of our online listeners at CITR.ca. You know, if you ever miss a show, you can always find us by downloading that podcast at juiceboxradio.com.
Any way that you came to join us tonight, we're glad to have you. And we have got a fabulous show in store for you tonight. It's all about mandingos.
I love that word.
And the sex trade. So the name mandingo, I don't know, it comes from the research that I've done on this. I'm sure listeners are like, what is a mandingo?
Mandinka.
A mandinka.
No, mandingo.
There's a voice coming from the from somewhere. It's our anxious guest who's got something to say. Let's introduce him since he seems to be wanting to talk to the mandingo word right away here. Andre, sexy Andre, you're welcome to joining us on Juicebox. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for asking me to come.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So please, since you seem to be jumping in, tell us what a mandingo is.
Mandingo is basically a person that comes from an area or speaks the Mandinka language. That's West Africa, around the Congo region. It was popularized by Alex Haley. Alex Haley's ancestors are Mandinkas or Mandingos, speaking the Mandinka language, and that's from the roots series and the book. That's where it comes from.
Aha.
Also, a porn star with a big, huge member used that word to popularize himself in porn culture, being black and having a big,
a large cock. Okay,
yes.
Cool. Well, yeah, Caroline, you're jumping in.
No, I was going to jump right in and say that. Why don't you describe what a mandingo is?
In your own words. I don't know.
You know, the thing about using that word, me being a sex trade worker, a
A male sex trade worker,
male escort, the man whore thing, is that, yeah, I love that. The man whore. Actually, check out the very first site. The very first site I've ever been on was bcmanwhore.com. And, yeah, so how I use it is basically because the name says authentic African. Mm-hmm. It brings a lot of, like, you know, sort of like the Jungle Bunny image of, like, this sweaty, strong black man with a big dick coming out of the jungle kind of thing. It works for using that stereotype to sell sex. And, you know, well, you know what when you're selling sex is all about exploitation as it is, right?
You think so?
Well, exploitation is not a bad word. It can be used bad ways and can be used good ways too.
Give me an example.
Well, I'm using on one of our free sites. I put Mandingo Love mostly because of, like, the details article in April magazine on page 36.
About?
Yeah, it was mostly because now in
Details magazine.
Details magazine, yeah, page 136.
advertisement.
No, because actually I put that in my ad too. There is a swingers in sort of like middle class and upper middle class scene in the United States that are now feeding using a little bit of fad where they get six black guys to a half a dozen black guys into a swinger family into a swinger party.
Yeah.
Sorry, where. You know, a lot of these rich white men and white women just are wanting to have this black fantasy of, like, a white woman having sex with a black man, or being gangbanged by a black man, and, you know,
other black men, like a bunch of them,
six, five, four. And it does
That's
happen.
That's a pretty big fantasy. I don't know, Caroline, what do you think about that one?
I think, considering I've had my cervix split before, I don't think it's in my mind. So, quite frankly, even though I can understand the big cocks
yeah, are not doing it for you anymore,
it's
Caroline.
It's not my thing.
No, I have to say, that whole, like, big cock, black man kind of a stereotype is really hard to live up to most of the time. You know, it's like for me growing up in my family with my brothers, older brothers, and my dad, I always looked at myself as being like,
When's Mike gonna grow?
Daddy gave all the good genes to my oldest brother. That kind of stuff. And
only because they're older than you and their penises grew before yours.
No, let's go with that. No, but the fact of the matter is, like, I always thought mine is just very average. But a lot of my clients seem to think it's a little bit more than average, and I'm really happy for that.
You know? Anyway, well, I'm glad that that your cock is what you want it to be. Now, I think that there's some big questions that we have tonight about this Mandingo thing, because after I finished reading the details article, Caroline and I looked into it a little bit, and we realized that there's this sort of, like, this Mandingo thing is actually black male sexual prowess is becoming, there's groups such as the Florida Mandingos and the SoCal Mandingos and this New York City thing, and they're spreading across North America. And I think it's a pretty big
phenomenon that's just happening.
Yeah.
No, it has. It's not a wave of black sex.
It's
not just a phenomenon that's just happening. It has been happening for a long time. Since even the 70s. It's just now it's hitting mainstream.
Wow.
There was Mario Van Peebles Sr. did a movie years ago about a man about a black man that does the whole sexual live show kind of thing, and it was called Sweetback's Willie, and that was basically the first
Sweetback Willie,
and that's basically one of the first movies that basically use the exploitation to show sort of like a moral tale about the whole black big dick mystique kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. So this is a really hot topic, listeners. So if you want to call in and add to the conversation, please do that at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And it's actually so hot that there's actually mandingos in Vancouver for hire.
Which you would be one of them.
Which I would think you're... Are you one of them? One of them, they're sexy,
well,
Andre?
That, I do advertise as Mandingo Love, so I would say yes.
Right. you have an ad on Craigslist, actually, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes, Mandingo Love.
Mandingo Love.
Yes.
What I'm curious about is, in terms of, in the article in details, because Julia and I had a chance to look that over earlier, that was about quite a few men sometimes, as you were describing at the beginning of this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
We have a caller here. Okay, oh, yes.
Oh, whoa.
Well, we don't know what's going on, but we'll just check it out. Telephone, Julia, get it going on here. Caller, thanks for calling. You're on Juicebox.
Okay. You will no doubt want to remind all your listeners that May the 5th, get down there to the art gallery and show your support for Mark, Michelle, and Greg, the Million Marijuana March, right?
Is this something to do with mandingos and big black cock or anything, caller?
I didn't know I was going to be on the air.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're calling in. That's fabulous. Thanks for the PSA. And do you have any questions for our mandingo? Have you even heard of a mandingo? Do you know what that is?
Think fast.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen it on porn videos, I think.
Ah. Okay.
And I think he's the president of Fiji, maybe. Or maybe, I know who he is. Yeah, he was acted the part of Long Dong Silver.
Long Dong
Pirates
Silver.
Of the Caribbean 69.
Yeah, that sounds actually good, and I'm hopefully going to be in that part very soon. I know.
All right, well, thanks for calling.
Is that one of your fantasies?
Thanks for calling, caller. We'll talk to you soon.
Can I be a stunt man?
We'll see if you have the cock size. That's what really counts. All right.
The stunt dick.
Okay, I'll video it in. I'll send it in by email.
Thank you.
You can send it to Julia at Juicebox Radio. And go to your Juicebox, not mine.
Oh, that's one of our favorite fans that are calling in. Good for you, Hugh. We love you. Hugh Erection.
One of the things I was going to ask before we had our caller call in was, what is the difference in terms of some of the fantasies that men might call you for in terms of the mandingo fantasy in comparison to women?
I mean, obviously the women thing is pretty
self-explanatory.
Well, you know, what was really interesting in coming back to the sex trade is that I didn't never really realize how many men have, you know, giving a blowjob to a black man fantasy, you know, sucking the big, thick black cock fantasy. A lot of men have that. A lot of men have been bottomed by a black man. And, you know, thank God, because it's a lot less work. There's a lot of men out there that actually are white men that are want to top a black man. And because of our luscious round buttocks.
Yes, your buttocks are very lovely.
Yes.
And if it's anything like the ad that's on Craigslist, I say your buttocks are fabulous.
Oh, I saw you saw it, did you?
We did.
Of course.
We pulled it up a couple times.
Yes, we did. So would you elaborate a little bit about what it is that you actually do in your sexual services?
Yeah, I know. What do
Some
I not
examples.
Do? Well, basically, this is how it works, you know. Somebody phones in, right? If they haven't seen a picture of me, they're calling from the line ad, I tell them what I look like, and then I ask them, what are you looking for? Because, you know, I'm pretty well a very open-minded person. Nothing scares me. You know, I've been in orgies, threesomes, so many that I can't really remember, you know. Actually, first started swinging here in Vancouver. My first threesome was back when I was, I think, 23. I'm dating myself.
Which
here.
I was going to ask.
No, we're not
you
talking.
You didn't put
age
that one off
here.
The record.
Oh, Jesus.
But I'll be nice, Coast.
Yeah.
So you'll basically do just about...
Just about anything, you know. I don't want to...
That feels good.
Well, you know, the best kind of, like, escort or whore is a slut. And I am definitely... have a slutty nature about me.
In terms of personal life as well?
Personally, I have a slutty nature. So, you know, the best escort whore is a slut that just makes money.
Oh, what is your definition of a slut?
Yeah.
You know, let's go to the book, Ethical Slut. And that means it's somebody that is, like, very comfortable and open-minded with themselves and has a ravenous nature for sexuality. So that's me.
Okay.
Well, so how old were you when you lost your virginity?
14.
Okay, and describe man or woman.
I wasn't ever with a man until I got into the escort scene, first as a driver when I was in my early 20s. I was way in the closet, always had these fantasies. And as a driver, I see the madam that ran the agency saw that I may have those tendencies and first put me on a few female calls. And then when a male call came up, she set me on it. And I was really nervous because, oh, what's going to happen? And then I was so incredibly surprised that not only did I get a hard-on, but, you know, I came to an orgasm really...
Quickly.
I wanted to ask you about this hard-on thing because, I mean, I can't tell you. I have men in my life that have enough trouble getting a hard-on just to have sex with me. They have so much pressure. They're so worried about, like, performance anxiety. I can't imagine what it would be like being a male sex trade worker or a male porn star.
Well,
like,
you've
got to get that cock up, man.
You know, number one, it is really hard, and there has been a few blooper... Hard at work. It's like a
blooper. There's been some blooper moments out there.
Well, you know, where somebody wanted me to top them, and, you know, I was low energy. I haven't been eating right. I didn't exercise that week, and I just could not sustain an orgasm to have sex with this stranger.
An erection.
Erection. Thank you very much. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But I've learned, you know, you learn from mistakes. What I do every morning is I try to exercise. I try to do at least four times a week calisthenic exercise, like go for a run for like a half an hour.
You think that helps get the erectile function?
That helps. Like, you won't believe.
Yeah, I agree.
So. You won't believe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like getting the pump, the big heart moving, gets that pressure going, and you need pressure to keep that erection up. Another trick of the trade is, like, of course, maybe sometimes you're just not horny, and but you still want to service a client. I try not to, like, if I'm really not into it, I am not going to work that day, and I'm my own boss, so I could do that.
Right.
You know, I never usually have any more than two, maximum three clients a day, because with breaks in between, because I really like to be fresh for each client.
Right.
I don't have a girlfriend or, like, a lover, so I treat my clients like my lovers.
Mm. So I'm sure to ejaculate during the session?
You know, I only on request. Because especially if the guy comes in at like 10 o'clock in the morning or at noon, and I might have another session, right? If he's not going to ask for it, I'm not going to, like, give up the cum.
Because that's going to deplete your ability to have an erection. And however many
there you times, go. Yeah. And, you know, and the other way is, like, you know, you take a, you know, like a 100 milligram pill of Viagra. No, hold on for a second. I don't take that whole 100 milligram pill. When needed, that 100 milligram pill lasts me up to 8 clients. Because all I need is basically a little smidgen, chew it up, you know, basically drink it down with a little bit of fluids. And within a half an hour, I'm basically ready to go. And not looking natural, that after I come, it's like still rock hard. And, oh, my God.
Is that 8 clients in a day? Or because you're mentioning you should have 2 to 3 in a day. So would that'll be a spanning?
That's a Saturday. Really?
So 100 milligram pill of Viagra would last me, I know, a week, 2 weeks.
Really?
That's incredible. But I would say a week. Mm-hmm. Maybe a week and a half, yeah.
What kind of Mandingo fantasies do men have? Like this blackmail, fucking their
wife kind of thing?
Yeah. So we talked about that in the article where the men just really like they get off on watching their wife be completely fucked, like mad by
black man. It's really strange.
What other fantasies might happen?
It's really strange about like now when you say one of other fantasies that men have. Men have usually pretty simple fantasies. Women, on the other hand, have like, oh my God, my secret garden. Just before I got into like the escort,
my secret garden,
Nancy Friday.
Thank you very much. When I first got into driving girls when I was going to university in my early 20s, reading that book just blew my mind and how detailed women's fantasies can get to. Men's fantasies are really very simple. Like, they first, if they're actually, sort of like bi-curious, a lot of men, especially the older men, would first start with a woman with a strap on, with a transsexual with breasts and still has a dick, and then maybe might make the step to do a real man with no dress, with no padded bra, with no anything. It's really strange that I would say that I don't cross dress, but I know that if I decide to go cross dressing, I'll make three times the amount of money a month just for putting on a padded bra and some nylons. And that's just crazy. That's just insane. Wow. It's like all I have to do is put a padded bra and some nylons, and all of a sudden I can make like, whoa, almost, a third the amount of the average woman would make,
Why do you think that is?
Well, it's the illusion of still holding on to the need to define yourself as straight, and sex is sex. Let's face it. I'm really sorry for people that are really homosexual and people that are really straight, because like, hey, bisexual people rock. We don't have to really deal.
Caroline's not bisexual.
Yeah,
sorry. And I'm
really sorry, Caroline. I'm sure
50% of the population is shut off.
I'm sure if you have like four men around you, you'll be okay. You'll do just fine.
She is blushing.
Lots of men in my time.
Yeah.
So
I want to know what got you in the sex industry. You've mentioned about the driving a few times. So did you start off as a driver for an escort agency? And how did you make the crossover into getting into the trade?
Well, like I said, this particular woman that was the madam of this agency saw or hoped that I could go there.
Mm-hmm.
Because
what made you decide to become a driver originally? You're in university.
I was in university, and I was like really needing money. I had like I came from like inner city Winnipeg, and I had like some friends that were not scholastic at all. They were still doing like the hustler thing that set me up. And it's like, here's this brand coming from like a boarding school, like now in the university, all like prim and proper. Can you say Oreo? Just like doing this, and like they just loved me because I was just like so crisp and clean. I brought back the right change, and never hassled the girls. But since I could remember way back to like puberty, I've always had threesome and man and woman or man and man fantasies. I was it's like crazy. I was going through puberty, taking the end of a rake, the big rake that has like that bulbous end, and you cut off the last foot of it, throwing away the rake. My mom and I goes, where's the rake? What happened to the rake? I had that the last end of the foot of the rake with the bulbous end, and using that as a dildo in the shower as like an early teen, you know, which meant creative. It even floors me.
Hurt your anus or rectum at all?
A couple of times, I'm sure. Beginner's madness,
With the vegetables, I've lost bits of vegetables in myself when I was young.
Cucumbers.
Yes. Please put a condom on it. Anyone who's trying things
I'm
at home like this, please. Put a condom on any vegetable you're going to put inside yourself, please. And if it's in your anus, make sure it's got something larger on one end so you can not lose it in your ass and then have to go to the little sex ed slotted in there.
Wait a minute. I just want to say one more thing about that. Starting in the escort agency, I was in the closet, bisexual, and this was the only place for me to experiment and for it to be discreet. And that's why, you know, through the years, I've been always going back to the sex trade because I like the discretion, I like the attention, and
the good
I
sex,
like
the
good sex or bad sex, but more to the point of honing in on my client's desires, of finding that one thing that brings them to an orgasm, and that's I think I'm getting a hold on that art, you know, that art of sexuality. Because, you know, it's a stranger. I've never seen this person before. All of a sudden, he's at my door or I'm at his door.
Yeah.
You have to assess from his body movements, from what he's saying, what he's told you before, what he needs to, like, achieve an orgasm. And it's not always an easy thing. It's sometimes, like, really hard. It's sometimes really hard, you know, when basically a client is not what you consider even nearly beautiful, like if he looks like, you know, Shrek's younger brother. And so what do I,
I'd be alarmed if a cartoon came to life.
There's nothing wrong with women and men in primary colors, let me tell you.
Red Light District.
I hone in on one or two things that person has that is sexual, whether it's their energy, their nipples, their shoulders, their cock, their butt, their thighs. I hone in on that and focus my energy into that and try to register their energy with mine.
Sounds wonderfully holistic.
Yeah. That sounds good.
I'm impressed. I have so many questions, and I'm thinking maybe we should save them for the second half. And have a little quick break right now.
Encourage our readers to our readers. Until
our
I have notes, our listeners to call in and ask any questions.
Yeah.
And maybe share your penthouse-styled, you guys all know what I like to masturbate to, penthouse-styled letters. Styled. Especially bits in regard to Mandingo. We'll be right back.
Oh, sorry. That was me. Sorry. No, we're not going to be right back quite yet.
Almost right back.
I wanted to say that we're going to play a little song by the Wet Spots at the moment, and it's going to be called We Don't Want to Talk About It, because I have a feeling that a lot of times people don't want to talk about the sex trade. They want to kind of pretend that it's not happening, and here on Juicebox, we like to acknowledge the amazing gift that sex trade workers give to society in so many facets.
And has been given for 6,000 years, people, since the beginning of civilization.
That's right. The oldest profession. And it is truly the oldest profession in the world, I believe. So tonight we are acknowledging that in one of our many shows on the sex trade. And this one is particularly about Mandingos. And we want to say thank you so much, Sexy Andre, for being on the show. And we're going to be back with the second half of this interview, getting more in depth with what is going on in this lovely, sexy man's mind and what happens in his sex trade. So please call in 604-UBC-CITR. That's 604-822-2487, and we will be right back.
There is something special happening to you, something very special that you're going through. Things are getting lower, things are growing wide, and some very, very special things are happening inside. And we don't want to talk about it. La 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 la.
is right, you'll know what to do. 'Cause no one ever told us, so we're glad that we told you. And we don't wanna talk about it.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you had a good time on your break, and hopefully you started masturbating a little bit, and you might want to call in and give us a little bit more feedback. And if you're joining us for the first time, as Julia is laughing in audacity, going, I can't believe, Caroline, you said that on air. Actually, no, she's probably not. She's probably
happy. I was laughing.
We have a man dingo
in the air, in the booth. Okay, we're giggly now. So while you were racing off to the washroom, actually, Andre, I just wanted to know that
Golden showers.
We had a couple of calls. So I moved the thing so that you could actually face that way, which would be easier for this way.
Just so that way we can smile.
That's good.
Yes, that's better. There you
Alrighty.
Go. Now you're good. And we had a couple of callers. One, there was somebody who called a friend of yours, Drew, and he wanted you to tell some kind of story that...
A friend of mine?
Someone named Drew.
Drew is probably his.
And he said he was really excited about you being on the air.
Drew.
And he also wanted you to reiterate a story about a certain something. But first of all, we have a caller waiting who has a question. So I think we should take that call and listen to what this caller has to ask. So go ahead, you're on the air.
Okay. Your guest, Mr. Big Black Cock, was saying that Viagra got him rock hard for like 8 solid hours, right?
No, I didn't say that at all. What I said is that a 100 milligram Viagra pill lasts me 8 different sessions when needed. With my clients.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Yes.
Okay, my actual question was, does Viagra get your imagination going first and then you get rock hard, or does it, you get rock hard and this gets your imagination going first?
The amount of Viagra...
Good question.
Yes, it is a good question. The amount of Viagra I do take, because I don't want my heart pumping and then basically never... ever going to be able to walk out into like open space within a couple hours of my clients. So literally I just take just enough to facilitate a hard on a blue day. Which is basically
good.
1/8 of 100 milligrams.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And it lasts for like about 2 hours.
Sounds like it works without the actual excitement happening first. Like it just works because it's physiological.
I have a huge imagination, you know. So the thing that the Viagra is there for the blue days.
The blue days. Now, again, that was Hugh Erection calling back. And I wanted to say, Hugh, thank you for calling. And you know what? We're going to have you on as a guest, as much as you might be afraid. You've been listening to the show for almost 4 years, and you've been pretty much our most steady caller. So we'd love to have you on as a guest. So you're going to be asked, and you're going to hopefully come in. Now, the other caller that called in on the break was a friend of yours, Drew, like I said. And he said something about some story about the first time some woman client called, and she was super trash.
Oh, I love this story. Thank you, Drew. Okay. Okay, so it's like I'm just starting again in the Vancouver escort scene, and I get a call for this woman that lives out in the boonies that I don't know if she is drunk or whatever. She just sounds a little bit tipsy for sure. She just sounds a little bit tipsy. But then I go over there I go over there somewhere in bumblefuck nowhere, which means past
past Langley.
Past boundaries, for as I'm concerned. Yes. So anyway, in the suburbs, and I get over there, and basically this is my first time in about 2 or 3 months. I'm actually having any kind of sex with a woman.
Oh,
right?
You've been mostly with men.
Mostly with men, especially I just came out of a dry spell by becoming an escort, and this is my first female that I'm dealing with. So I go into dealing with.
I love how you put that.
Well, sometimes it can feel like that, I'm sure.
So I go in there, and she's about, let's say, 45 to 50 years old. Still has a really nice boobs. You know, not bad shape for her age. Looks like she keeps herself well, but she is trashed. And she goes, oh, and you know, first thing she did, you know, is like, give me the money. And the first thing is she attacked my pants and ripped it down. And by the time she actually got it down, my dick just flew up, bing. And she was like, ooh, oh, did you get so hard? It's like, ladies, you're my first lady in a long time. I'm thinking to myself, of course I'm going to get hard in a second. And
very good. Nice to know this.
And so this lady...
I'm excited.
This lady grabbed my dick and was leading me around, come over here, do me this way. And then just like, she was just like, jumped
pushing
on top
herself.
Of me. Yeah, jumped on top of me and started like straddling me and just like chafing away. But hold on, lady. I had to put some lube as well. I was going to like lose like some skin there for sure. Because she was just riding me like you won't believe. And she didn't want me to go, and she was spending way too much money. She was way too trashed, and I didn't want to like take advantage of the situation. So I basically left my name, my number, and took off. 2 or 3 days later, the phone rings. It's this lady, and she's saying, "Hi, I think I saw you the other day." He goes, yes, you did. Are you Andre? Yes, I am. Well, I was blacked out. I was trashed, I guess. I don't know what's going on, but you were over here. Yes, you did. So, 'cause all I have is all these like bills and you know, from, you know, I was working with an agency, so they did visa and this and that. I said, yeah, I know. That's why I left, because I didn't want you spending any more crazy money. And you know, it was just unfair. She goes, well, what are you doing right now? I said, nothing. Could you get over here in 45 minutes? I go, well, I'll try my best. Can you give me an hour? He goes, just get here as fast as I can. We agreed on a price. I flew over there. Got to her door, rang the bell, she opened and goes, hi, how's it going? And he's like, let me in. And she looked a little bit different in the way of like, she wasn't as friendly as I expected, a second time client. And we sat down and we started talking. She says, oh, I was really trashed, I blacked out. I was really worried about you, this and that. And says, but, you know, I just wanted, could we get the money situation taken care of, then we could go from there. I could tell my driver, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, well, this is it. I blacked out. I mean, I really liked your voice on the phone. I didn't even know you were black.
She didn't know you were black.
I have no memory that you were a black man. And I was going, well, this is uncomfortable.
Oh my gosh, Holly, how did you handle that?
I go, well, this is uncomfortable. And I understand if it's not your thing and it was just in the moment of drunkenness. I understand, okay. But, you know, I need basically...
Interesting.
I need basically to pay the driver. So if we can have a cancellation fee, and she give me a cancellation fee plus a tip so I could pay my driver. And, you know,
She didn't want you.
No,
she was afraid of your blackness.
The thing about that is that,
like, what happened there?
I think she was just shocked
that you were black.
You know, I'm telling you, she was from the boonies.
Yeah,
I think she was just shocked that she basically...
Maybe it was so dark and she was so drunk she didn't notice that the skin color was dark.
She blacked out. You know, she just...
Bizarre.
She didn't remember anything from the night.
Wow.
But the fact of the matter, the thing is that a month later, that lady did phone back.
Oh, really? And what happened the third time?
I bet she did.
It was good. It was interesting, but the unfortunate thing about that, she was again a little bit sauced. The unfortunate thing about that is that's about around the same time that my thing with the agency ended, and I went independent from there.
Hmm. How long have you been independent?
I've been independent basically 100% since December.
Okay. And how have you found that? Is it been easier? Is it more challenging to get rid of like dates that you clients that you don't want as much?
Well, you know what?
Or are you able to be more selective and not choose clients that you wouldn't want to?
I could be way more selective. I am the one that qualifies the client. I'm the one that makes all details. And you know, really, if you're not going to be respectful on the phone, if you're not going to be respectful when I see you, I'm either going to send you out the door and take some of your money, you know, because you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Because, you know, hey, respect the people that give you pleasure. You know, respect the
Amen
people that give you pleasure.
Very
you know, that
good
means
mandate.
Whores, sluts, whatever. Respect them.
So Andre, where do you see yourself in a year? Like, you're giving to the sex trade. This is an amazing gift that you give. You're getting some fun out of it.
Well, you know, this is basically, I've decided, you know what, I'm going to come all out. I'm really sick of working construction, working with a lot of like people that are really homophobic, and the most homophobic ones probably have fantasies about sucking your dick anyway. So,
I think so.
So I got all of it. I started working with this. We started working with this, and I found that I could actually work only 20 hours a month and make the same amount of money that we're making in construction. Of 20 hours a month, full-time, 180 hours a month. Do the math. If you're a slut, it does not compute.
Wow. You know?
Sounds like, well, I know that when I met you, you seemed like a pretty happy-go-lucky, fun-loving kind of guy who told me that you have stories to tell me on the radio if I'd ever invite you on. And of course, I would love to have you on. You didn't tell me that you were a construction worker. There was this whole, like,
yes, I was in electrical construction and just, like, really feeling sorry for myself working in construction because, you know, it's like, my dad was an electrician himself, and I was feeling this need to fill his boots and not really thinking about really what I wanted for myself, and something clicked, and it went on.
So what are you going to do then? What's your plan? What are you thinking?
You know what? I really, really don't have any plan. I have to say right now, I plan to work in the sex industry. When I say that, I mean being an escort, being a model, doing porn, maybe even website, writing stories, making a movie, writing movies or whatever. I'm gonna explore all ends of it, see where my talents go well, and if my talents don't go well, because let's face it, being an escort, even as a man, there's a shelf life of how long can you look young? And so, you know, it's like...
How long can you get it up as well?
How long
can Seems like you don't have many problems with that, but I can imagine.
You know, actually...
Eventually you might, so...
You know, I don't have any real problems.
Do you have a natural penis? Have you been cut or are you uncut?
This is a big... you see, I had, at a very young age, from the age of 1.5 until on... about 6 different surgeries on my dick because
really?
At 1.5 my urethra was closing up, And I think maybe basically having your dick filleted six times kind of like will in the future make you kind of kinky. And so I think, you know, and also, you know, this is what's happening. You know, you have people shoving stuff up your butt for like any kind of like anal canal when you're so young. All of a sudden you're 12, 13 years old, you're using the end of a rake as a dildo.
Could have an effect.
Oh my goodness, you know.
With your client,
it could have an effect. Now wait a minute.
So I have a hoodie that is between cut and uncut.
So you have a halfway.
It's a gangster little hoodie.
The reason I ask is because erectile function. I've done shows about this before, not on podcast listeners, because it was a show before, but maybe we could do it again. But an uncut natural cock its erectile function lasts longer in life than one that has been circumcised.
Really?
So,
I didn't know that.
Well, yes, this is why. Because it's just like if you think about the clitoris, if you would imagine the clitoris skin, the hood of the clitoris being completely peeled back and cut off, so the clit berry, like the actual bulb of the clit, is exposed to rubbing and chafing, and over time the nerve endings would deaden after a while.
Thank goodness for my hoodie.
So exactly. So the skin of the foreskin protects the corona and the head of the cock from the nerve endings being deadened over time, and so the erectile function lasts a lot longer. So you'll find that men that have not been circumcised have good erectile function until they're about 70 years old, and men that are circumcised tend to only last maybe till 50. So it's quite a disparity there, and. You know, yes, we have to thank the mothers and fathers that have not cut their poor little boy's foreskin off. Then, yes, we can thank them.
I have a hoodie.
Right. So I was just wondering, because you have very good cock function, erectile function. And so I was wondering if there was a relationship there. And so that's why I asked the question.
Yes, thank you for telling me that. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I don't have anything to worry about.
No, you don't. And so you had some urethral... Okay, anyway, that's another story for another day.
Yeah,
all right, so let's get back to the whoring, shall we? So it sounds like you enjoy your job. It sounds like you use the stereotypes to market yourself.
Absolutely.
We were talking about that earlier in the hour.
Absolutely.
So you were using all kinds of stereotypes. You used Jungle Bunny.
One time, I just love working on the black stereotypes and actually having fun with them, especially during Halloween. You know, my friends will know that one Halloween a couple of years ago, I dressed up like a jungle bunny, and like another time, I dressed up like a voodoo priest with a whole, you know, live and let die look to it. And another time, or Screaming Jay Hawkins, if you like. And another time, I dressed up last year like Marvin Martian, because he's a brother.
Okay.
I was running out of stereotype ideas.
So why do you have fun with them? Why do you use them? I mean, people tend to be so like avoid them, be careful and not to, you know, sort of to go there at all, and so you propagate them.
Because that's all they are. All they are is an illusion. All they are is something that brings up an image. Mm-hmm. And if you could use images that are negative in a positive way, you know, you nullify a lot of the negativity in it. And that's why I use, you know, black action, Mandingo love, jungle bunny, whatever you say it. I'm using it to bring out the sensuality or the sexuality of a person. Because, you know, my clients are by no means, I have to rephrase that. Because, you know, whether I have racist clients or not does not bother me. Because once they walk out of my house, they have a different perspective on a black man. And it's not only sexual. Because, you know, I hope I'm like showing that I have a brain also.
And you seem like quite a gentleman. The article and details was online, and Caroline and I were just perusing some of the
blogs.
Yes. And so I would like to sort of try to bring a little bit of this controversy into the conversation.
Check out the blogs, people, please.
Around like, you know, slave trade. They're saying how Mandingos are just another example of the slave trade.
You know, there's a
Can you comment?
You know, but when did the slave trade happen? You know, emancipation is, what, 200 years old? No, what, not 200 years old, but it's long. It happened a long time ago. And you know, what interesting thing, when I was going through the whole exploring S&M and B&D Dungeons and fetish fantasies and stuff like that, is that there was Savage Love had a article about a white woman that went to a movie about with her black boyfriend about the slave trade or the end of the slave trade and how this white man and this black slave basically made their plight for emancipation. Yeah. And she was horrified and excited to the fact that when she looked on the screen and she saw this big muscular guy in chains and sweating, she was turned on. And I said, well, you know this, and she was going like, am I racist? Should I feel really bad about that? Obviously, she really cares and loves her black boyfriend. Mm. Whether it was black or white does not really matter. But the fact that he is black, and the fact that turns her on, well, why not? In the safety of their own room, they don't have to tell their white friends or their black friends. He could put on the shackles and chains, maybe play a Nat Turner being the Nat Turner of like 200 years ago, mm. who basically ran a slave revolt. Play the Nat Turner, break from her chains, and mount the mistress that has been holding him down. I mean, come on now. I mean, come on now. Doesn't that sound hot? I mean, please.
Well, it depends on your thing. So okay. Well, we could probably talk a little bit more about this, but we only have about 5 minutes or so left of the hour, and I do want to address a few things, like what was your most frustrating part of your job, and what was sort of maybe a more embarrassing part, or like, I don't know, Caroline, I'm sure you have some parts. You have some questions.
Most frustrating part of my job is mostly because I do try to look at, go after guys that are looking for their first time, or they're in the closet gays, or in the closet bisexual guys. So it's the first time in the closet gay, in the closet bisexual guys, and people that have certain black fetishes or kinks. And the problem with that is in letting them feel comfortable enough to explore it. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of time on the phone. I might be talking to the person off and on for about 3 or 4 minutes, 3 or 4 times within 3 or 4 months before they actually see me. So, mm-hmm. so actually it takes basically 4 months of like basically not making as much money.
Relationship
before.
Stuff, you know.
Well, no, as in like, because the people see my ad out there, let's say my ad gets out there in September. I won't, from that ad that came out in September, I probably won't see any money from certain clients until December, until they finally get it brave enough, until they see my ad enough, until they talk to me enough. Mm-hmm. And, so the most frustrating part of it is cancellations cancellations and clients not showing up for the appointment.
Have you had some?
You have a potential client that just called.
Ooh. Oh,
she's wanting to know how she can reach you and what your ad actually is. So I promised her that we'd get to that.
SexyAndre.com is going to be up and running. Hopefully, we just hit a snag. SexyAndre.com is going to be up this weekend.
And it's Andre, A-N-D-R-E.
A-N-D-R-E.
And
Sexy
it's
Andre.
Also, you have a Craigslist, so you can we just put in Craigslist,
well,
Sexy
Andre? Well, you
know
what, Andre, if you don't, you could, no, probably not. If you put in Mandingo Love, or you look up the Georgia Strait in the Strait section for male escort, there at the advertisement is Hot Black Action.
Nice. Hot black action.
Thank you for Miss Nicole to give me that, and also to give me the headline, Sexy Andre. She sorry, I'm like a
You're
Caribbean
passionate.
Man. I have to like
You're
work with
we
my hands
it.
And bang stuff. And,
have you had some of these clients that you've had, the ones that are you know, it's the first time, you know, you're basically literally popping
a
cherry.
I have a lot of first-timers.
Can you tell us about one that you've really, like, where they've thanked you after or anything like that, where you've
There's lots. There's too many.
Okay.
But the ones that I appreciate mm-hmm. most, and this is going to sound really great, really crazy, because, you know, it's like, you would think I appreciate the young hot stud, which I really enjoy those, but the ones I really do appreciate the most are guys between the age of like 45 and 70.
Young guys own up to who they are.
Apparently, grown up, they've never done this before. It's been rattling around their minds for like 30 years. You know, just disabled clients I've done person with Parkinson's, when you shake. Like client with Parkinson's. I've done three or four clients in wheelchairs, and you know, I walk out of after seeing them really enjoy our session, I walk out of that feeling that basically I just built the Golden Gate Bridge, you know?
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's great.
Yes.
This is part of the gift that I talk about with the sex trade and how important it is, how critical it is.
And the male and female threesomes and the gay threesomes are just like too much fun, and I give them the most time.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. So can we just, I mean, I don't mean to end on like a negative note, but I just wonder because, you know, I have several friends in the sex trade and, you know, I thought about dappling in it myself, and I did a lot of interviewing about that years ago, and so many things to consider, so many potential dangers, so many, you know, negative things that could happen, and just so, could you speak to that?
Yeah, for me, you know, it's like I hadn't had very many negative things, but basically, especially if you are going to someone else's house or somebody's coming to your house and there's nobody there to protect you, you literally have 10 seconds to surmise this person, and the easiest thing to do is look straight into the person's eyes. You don't want to go anywhere with a client that cannot look you in the eye for like more than like 5 seconds. Can't look in your eye for 5 seconds.
Yeah, they're looking around and all over, and they can't hold your eye contact.
Well, more the fact they're looking past. They're not looking around. They're looking past you.
And so that, they look at you, but they kind of look over here. They kind of look like right here.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Looking not through you, but past you. Not even looking in your direction. It is a definitely like a thing that tells me this is a bit of a predator.
Have you ever had to turn somebody down where you just got that gut instinct?
Yes. And this is after like two or three sessions I had with this guy.
Oh, really?
Well, the last session, and this was like about 6 or 7 years ago. The last session I had with this guy, he actually pulled out a gun to show me his gun before the session started. And went, whoa! And you know, I was young. And I was just getting into it again, and this guy was a guy that had a lot of money, so whenever I got over there, he was just coked to the tits.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's like, so he kept on phoning me, I wouldn't answer his phone. Finally, I answered his phone. He says, hey, how come you won't come and see me anyway? Because I said...
You pulled out a gun.
No, because you make me feel uncomfortable and unsafe. And he goes, oh, and he never called me again.
Wow. Oh, interesting. So being honest is really important, sounds like, and just being like really real with people.
Being honest is really sometimes the difference from having a great session and being ripped off or raped. Being honest to yourself and to your client.
Mm. And calling them on things, too, and just like speaking, you know, whatever it is you see as
exactly.
the truth. Yeah.
Have you found working independently in comparison to an agency, and I don't mean just for you, because you've obviously known other men who have been in the trade as well. Have you found it's been safer?
Mostly women.
In terms of dates, it's safer with an agency or independent, both for men and women. What would you say?
It's always safer with an agency, but most sex trade workers are moving away from agencies. The ones that when you go to the agencies, you're basically going to be paying from $300 to $500 and up. And you know what the
per
clients?
What do you mean?
Per hour, whatever.
Oh, you go through an agency, you're going to pay that much. Yeah.
And what you should be paying for that is the fact that the agency ensures that they're not, that these girls or guys are not going to rip them off, that they have,
or
good,
be raped,
you know,
or violent.
Well, no, no, I'm talking about for the clients, and both ways, but that is not always.
And rob the place.
But that is not always true.
Wow.
Okay.
But
well.
Mostly. Yeah.
Jeez. I wish we'd gotten to that before, but we're cutting into the next show, Hans Claus's Misery Hour. So we'll close.
He's a sexy person to get miserable with.
He sure is, and he's coming up next.
Yeah. So if I could say one more thing, check out sexyandrew.com. Check out another friend of mine. There's a black guy, another Mendigo. He's going to be advertising as a black. By popular demand, I made up that headline for him. Black by BI, popular demand. Look out for Tyson. I'm a little bit more of like a alternative guy. He's definitely going to be the gangster hustler look. And we will be doing duos together.
Oh, the two black men fantasy. All right, well, thank you for listening, listeners, and thank you, Sexy Andre, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
thank you.
Wonderful. We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock, won't we?
Yes, Caroline? And if any of you are in listening from Victoria, Julia's going to be there hosting.
Shoot, we have announcements, yes.
The Victoria Erotic Festival, is that what it's called this weekend?
Marion, please forgive me for going over.
Do I ever complain?
I'm so sorry.
She loves
the blonde and brunette, and now black, and in the
The Victoria Erotica Arts and Film Fest. I will be emceeing the Saturday Night Masquerade Ball this weekend. I'm leaving on Friday to go to that. It's going to be fabulous. Please come and check it out if you're going to be on the island. It should be a really fabulous weekend of entertainment of all kinds of things erotic. And you can check them out. Where's the thing? I knew I put it somewhere. Where is it? VictoriaEroticaFestival.com starts tomorrow night, Thursday night, and with Betty Dodson. I'm so excited to meet her, the masturbation guru. And we also have Marion's a guru, and we have a Tallulah in town coming into Vancouver this weekend or next weekend or something, and she's going to be doing a film showing of her film about female ejaculation, and it's called Divine Nectar. You can check out Tallulah.com and find out more about that. And I'm trying to help put together a film showing of that, and so I'll be giving you some more information about that next week. So just keep in touch with Tallulah.com and find out what's happening with Divine Nectar. It's an incredible movie about female ejaculation.
And if you're out and about tonight, you can come check out lots of burlesque going on in the city. I've heard a rumor that Sweet Soul's got something going on. I'm not quite sure where, so you might have to hit at the Hansa Club.
At the Hansa Club.
As well as that, there is also Screaming Chicken Burlesque. It's their Becoming Burlesque graduation for the girls who took that course at Julia and
I. It just finished. I think it's over now.
It was, and they have their grad tonight, so that's playing.
It's over now.
It might still be going on, actually.
Six to nine.
Yeah. Is it?
Oh. I had it written in my daytimer, and that's why we were missing it, unfortunately. But
and Luscious Dance is actually dancing tonight as well. And they are up at Tonic tonight, which that's a midnight show.
Oh, at Tonic in an hour from now. Okay, well, let's go check it out. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
At the sexy hour of 10 o'clock.
All right, there's Hans Claus's Misery Hour up next. And you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. All right, what am I doing? Burley, outro, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.